From our gospel reading, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. The people who were gathered in that synagogue on that Sabbath were there to hear Jesus teach and to preach. And that he did. And his word possessed authority, and the people respond with, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." The people then, just as the people today, struggle with a question concerning authority. The question is this: just who really is in control? Who has the power? Who has the ultimate power? Now, before you get ahead of me, the answer to this question is madly confusing today in all areas of life. For instance, when I was young, I was taught that when it came to, for instance, the control or power of our government, it was divided into three branches, each that served as checks and balances of each other's power, and each with its own limited area of power. I was taught that the legislative branch legislates, that they write the law, and the executive branch executes, they enforce the law, and the judicial branch judges, they judge the laws. Yet the world that I grew up in, and perhaps it was different for those generations before me, but the world I've grown up in has seen the judicial branch legislating, writing laws from the bench, the legislative branch executing, mobbing one another's houses, driving them out of restaurants, and even putting Supreme Court justices on trial, and the executive branch tweeting. Now, this is all madly confusing to me, as I struggle with just who really is in control. Now, I'm led to believe that it's actually the middle class who has the power. Every time an election comes around, anyways, the middle class has all the votes and the power. And if the middle class needs something, well, then they are promised it. But this is also greatly confusing because I am the middle class and I have no such power. The only thing the middle class seems to have today is confusion and frustration, and plenty of it. As do the people in the synagogue, struggling with just who is in control. But those in the synagogue were not confused about the government. They weren't confused about who was in control in those matters. They knew who was in control. Caesar was. Caesar had all the power. Earthly governments were quite clear in their day. You may have not agreed with them, but as a Roman citizen, your ultimate appeal was always to Caesar. They had their own political slogans that were well known and rehearsed and repeated off the lips of every citizen. Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord, they would all say. It was a constant reminder to every citizen of who really was in control. Caesar was. Caesar is Lord. When it came to the government, they would have had zero confusion. Caesar had all the power. And therefore, their world was much different than ours. Could you imagine a world where there was no confusion about the government? What's left to be confused about? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved with our government. Of course we should. But why are these issues so magnified today? Why are they so loud and addicting and pull us in? I think we've all been duped by the devil, who loves to keep us away from spiritual realities. He loves to keep our eyes off of the Lord and place them squarely on one another. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. We are to love one another. But we are also to love the Lord and to look to Him. Or as Augustine puts it, you have the city of God and the city of man. And both are worthy of our devotion. But the one who thinks that one can be perfectly done on this side of heaven is a fool. No, the people in that synagogue that day, they were not confused about the city of man or who was in control or any sort of government realities. They were confused about spiritual things. Like this. A man possessed by a demon. Who has the ultimate power? Demonic possession, evil spirits, malevolent powers. Who has the ultimate authority? You have a man possessed by a demon. What is going on here? They weren't concerned about earthly matters. They were concerned about the spiritual matters. Who has authority over something like that? Who can stand up and rebuke? Who has authority over these spiritual forces of evil? The principalities in the darkness of the air. Caesar certainly didn't. Caesar could tax. Caesar could wage war against other humans. But Caesar couldn't wage war against the spiritual powers. Caesar had no authority over the spiritual war that was taking place. So who did? And Jesus was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching. For his word possessed authority. And lo and behold, in the synagogue that day, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands even the unclean spirits, and they come out." The voices that we hear today are quite loud. They tempt. They scream. They taunt, and they often throw us into confusion and despair. And oh, how Satan loves to drag us off into the depths of misery. He whispers into our ears, he takes up residence in our heart, and that is where we see a war that rages within our own body. A war that rages within my own members, as Paul says, "The things that I want to do, I don't have the ability to carry them out. And even the things that I hate, those are the things that I keep on doing." This war that rages within ourselves that causes us to be defeated. Why can't I ever be good enough? Why can't I ever seem to get my life on track perfectly? Why am I such a poor, miserable sinner? Oh, wretched people that we are, who will save us from this body of death, this war that rages within us? Paul says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For there is one whose voice rises above all the voices of demons and of sickness and of your sin. One voice which towers over all things and alone is authoritative. One voice that alone speaks what is true. One voice, the Holy One of God, who speaks through the confusion, who speaks through all the voices and through all the despair." He stands up and Jesus speaks, "Child, your sins are forgiven. Woman, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more." one voice that rises from the grave, who once was dead is now alive, and he continues to speak through the mouths of his servants so that all people could hear his voice. The sheep know his voice, and they follow him. A stranger's voice they will not follow. They will flee from him. They do not know the voice of strangers. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. He has called them by name. They are his. Time is at hand, Paul says, when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. False prophets who profit off of man-made teachings that appeal to one's itching ears, telling them whatever they want to hear. But it's not so for the sheep, who know the voice of their shepherd, who humbly trust in his voice, and the shepherds whom he sends to them to sow his word, faithfully and patiently, they hear his voice. And we respond in faith with crystal clear clarity. Jesus is Lord. And he is king, and he rules over everything. And Jesus is the one who has the authority. So what he says I am. And where he sends me and where he places me, I go and I stay. The voice of a stranger, of a demon, of another, we will not listen. Only the voice of the one who laid down his life for me speaks for me. Jesus is Lord, and I am not. So may his authoritative word go forth in all power and rebuke your devils, your sin, and all the strangers which have flooded your ears. May his word cast them far away and open your ears anew to his life-giving word for you. Amen.